And so we're so grateful to have Brother Greg Mays. Brother Greg, watching you worship God and in your sincerity, you're not putting on. There's nothing fake about it. I'm just grateful for what God is doing. Amen. I want to ask Brother Mays to come and greet this congregation.
Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. We got in and I said, I want to go see about my brother. I said, I want to see if he got it. Amen. I love him and I'm glad he's here. I said, I'm glad he's here. I'm going to tell you, there's no other church I'd rather him go to. Glory to God. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Wow. You can be seated for a moment. I really didn't come to preach tonight. I come to check on my brother. I wanted to see, we've been gone so much and spent the last, I guess almost 3 weeks at Diggins, and had a wonderful time. And I just come in to recuperate for a few days before we head out again. But I was thinking about I think it's Joshua the 10th chapter. It talks about Gibeon, and Gibeon was a great city. But now Gibeon was a threat to the kings of the Amorites because it had chosen to be united with Joshua on the Lord's side. And the leaders of the city of Gibeon recognized that God was with Joshua. And the children of Israel, and they had come into covenant with Joshua and the children of Israel. And it seemed now all of hell was rising up against them. And that's the way it is when you live for God. All of hell rises up against you. But the good news is, by choosing God's side, all of heaven will come your aid. And all of heaven came to their aid. Amen. Praise God. I just feel like giving a word to my brother and to somebody else that's in this place. When you might feel like you're going through hell, you feel like the devil is throwing everything at you, including the kitchen sink. I want you to know you're not alone. Amen. God knows what the enemy's trying to do. He'll not forsake you. And rest assured, the devil will not win. I said he can't win. It looks like he's overcome a round or two, and he may have. Amen. But if you'll stay the course, if you'll stay the course, you're going to win the war. Can I hear an amen? Oh, I love you, God. Is this all right? I want you to, you can read it for yourself in Joshua chapter 10. I'm not going to read verses 7 through 14, but if you were to find the time and read them, you'll quickly find out how God moved mightily for the children of Israel by sending hailstones upon the armies of those five kings of the Amorites that had united to come up against them. And in fact, verse number 11 says, there were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. However, I want you to notice that God wasn't finished with those five kings just yet. Amen. I want you to know, amen, read Joshua chapter 10, verses 20 through 26. And it came to pass when Joshua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter till they were consumed, that the rest which remained of them entered into fenced cities. And all the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Makkedah in peace. None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. I'm telling you, amen, the world is not going to be able to move their tongue. Their long old, my God, their mousy tongues. They're not going to be able to do it against you. Amen. Then said Joshua,
open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave. And they did so, and they brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. And it came to pass when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with him, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet on the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. My God, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. And afterward, Joshua smote them and slew them and hanged them on five trees. And they were hanging on the trees until the evening. I want you to notice again verse 24 where it says, come near, put your feet upon the necks of those kings. And they came near and put their feet on the necks. And I want you to know, I'm not planning on preaching. I'm just going to exhort a while. Is that all right? Amen. You need to put your foot down on the devil's neck. I said somebody needs to put your foot down on the devil's neck. My. To put your foot down is an idiom that is used to use your authority to assert a firm and non-negotiable decision to strongly insist that something must stop or must happen. That's what it means to put your foot down. Did you ever hear your mom and dad say, I'm putting my foot down? Yeah. And when they did, there was no negotiating with them. If you wanted to negotiate, they would, but it was to the seat of your pants. Amen. It signifies taking a strong stand. It signifies asserting control and enforcing a position forcefully because you see something as important and will no longer tolerate it. And I've come to this pulpit tonight, amen, with a special message for someone. God said it's time for you to put your foot down on the devil's neck. I have a message for somebody who's been feeling down and out, somebody who's been feeling distressed and depressed, confused and disappointed, even with yourself, even angry at yourself and feeling isolated and forsaken. There's someone here who has felt like something has its foot on your neck, trying to choke the very life out of you. It's been cutting off your breath, making it hard for you to get your spiritual breath, and taking the very joy out of your life until you feel dead inside. You feel like the devil, amen, has been slinging mud all over you, and he's deemed you to the point you don't even know if life's worth living. I'm telling you, yes, it's worth living. You're miserable, you're dejected, you're down and out. You're feeling like it's over, that you're, my God, you're totally destroyed. You're never going to get back up on your feet. But I've come with some good news for somebody in the house. Micah chapter 7 verse 8 tells me, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Woo! I've come tonight to tell somebody it's time, amen, it's time for you to change positions. It's time for you to go from being under the circumstance to being on top of the circumstance. Oh, somebody gonna help me tonight. It's time for you to come out from being under pressure to being the one applying the pressure. Woo! It's time you put your foot down on it. Amen. When you put your foot on it, it means you're in charge. It means you're on top. Amen. It means that you're in control. It means that whatever it is has lost its effect on you. It means you've won. Is this all? Those five kings could represent anything. They could represent financial problems. They could represent marital problems, physical problems, chemical dependency. Amen. It could be a spiritual problem, or possibly it could be a combination of all thereof. They could represent debt, sickness, oppression, depression, a medical problem, an addiction, or some other type of personal problem. Brother, amen, Jared. I don't know what the problem is tonight, but I do know that whatever it is, it's time to put your foot down on it. I said it's time to put your foot down on it. You see, from God's perspective, amen, the devil has already been defeated. Jesus had already stripped him of his authority and his power. Colossians 2 and 15, speaking of Jesus, tells us, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing them over them in it. Amen. If you're a blood-bought child of God with the Holy Ghost power living in you, amen, then the devil has no power. He has no authority over you. Amen. He has no power over your mind. He has no power over your spirit. My God, my God. Woo. Jesus goes so far as to tell us in John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Woo, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. But I want to caution somebody tonight, for you to believe that the devil has no power, that he's weak and helpless, is to make a very tragic and fatal mistake. Because I said he'll mess with your mind. But I'm telling somebody, the devil is defeated from God's perspective, but he's not dead. He's very much alive. Why, he cannot affect my standing with God. He can definitely mess with my circumstances. He can mess with my emotions. He can even manipulate people and things against me. He can attack me through people, through sickness, through financial problems, through attacks on people I love. But I don't have to succumb to his devices, his plans, or his schemes, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Woo-hoo! In Romans chapter 16, verse 20, amen, the Apostle Paul says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, amen. In this scripture, Paul is letting us know, amen, that what Jesus accomplished in the spirit is getting ready to be manifested in your world, in your life, in your daily existence. Is anybody going to help me just for a few more minutes? It's one thing to know that Jesus defeated the devil, but it's another thing to see that victory manifested in my own personal experience. I want more than just a revelation of how Jesus defeated the devil. I want the divine power of God working in me and through me. I want to put my foot on his neck and the other on his head. Woo! In our text scripture, Joshua said to his captains, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. Ooh, this was to demonstrate the victory was real, it was personal, and that the enemy was under their feet. Joshua said to those men, today's your day. I mean, amen, it was your day. Instead of running from it, whining and crying about it, you're going to do something about it. While praying about it, today you're going to put your foot down on it. And when you do, you're going to choke the very life out of it. My God, many times we're waiting for God to move in some great supernatural way with one swipe, wipe out all our enemies. But the truth is, to a large degree, God has done everything he's going to do until we do something. I said he's done everything he's going to do until we do something. He's given us his word. He's given us his name, his blood, the stripes he took for our healing, his spirit, the power of praise, and the whole armor of God. Notice that Joshua himself did not put his foot upon the necks of the enemy kings, but rather he let the captains do it. You can read it for yourself. No, you now you might not agree with this, but that's all right. And I'm sure I can I'll stand before Elder Riggin. But I feel that the reason he did it that way was to represent the fact that the victory belonged to every single Israelite, and that every single one of them were subduing their enemies that day. Amen. You need to look at somebody sitting beside you, in front of you, or even behind you, and tell them, that means you. That means you. That means you. That means you. You have the power, you have the authority, and you have all the right weapons. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5 clearly states, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now one more time, look at somebody and tell them, quit complaining about it and put your foot down on it. They brought those five kings out of the cave where they were hiding, and they identified them by name. Before you get the victory over, my God, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Before you get the victory over what has plagued you and robbed you and oppressed you, you have to bring it out of hiding. You have to admit it, and you have got to identify it. Oh, it got a little quiet on me there. You have to quit pretending it doesn't exist, or that it isn't that big of a deal, or that you can handle it by yourself and keep it hidden in the cave. The fact is, whatever you keep in the dark grows and intensifies and multiplies and will eventually bring you into bondage. If not dealt with, it will destroy your life. There have been many great men of God who are used in a mighty way, who have fallen, not because the enemy was more powerful than them, but because they covered up their problem and made excuses for it, and it grew until it took over their life. Amen. Before you can put your foot on it, you have to identify it, recognize it for what it is, and expose it. Amen. Get honest with God about it. Hate it and want to be rid of it. You'll never quit drinking if you love it. You'll never quit lusting if you love it. You'll never quit overeating if you love it. You'll never quit gambling if you love it. You'll never quit smoking if you love it. You'll never quit overspending if you love it. You'll never quit quarreling and arguing if you love it. Let me add something right here. You'll never quit arguing with your pastor if you love arguing with him. You'll never quit looking at pornography if you love it. You'll never quit holding grudges if you love holding a grudge. You'll never quit trying to find excuses to miss church if you love missing church. Amen. Somebody ought to be shouting right now. You'll never get over depression and oppression if you love being depressed and oppressed. You've got to hate it. But you need to remember this. The Word of God says it came to pass 453 times in 452 verses. And if you'll just keep holding to God's unchanging hand and trusting in God and Him alone, amen, you'll find that the oppression, the depression, along with the exploitation of the devil, and the feelings of hopelessness and helplessness will have to eventually fade away, because when God comes on the scene, it comes to pass. I said, when God comes on the scene, it comes to pass. You'll never quit doing whatever it is that keeps you from total victory if you love it. Amen. You've got to hate it with a godly hatred. You've got to be rid of it, whatever it is bothering you. You have got to love. Amen. Your love for God has got to be so strong. It'll move you to hate the things that would adversely affect your relationship with God. Before you can put your foot down on it, you have to hate it. Praise God. There's the elder. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. You have to hate it with a holy hatred. And when you do, you will have to destroy it. When you truly hate it, not only will you want victory over it, but you will want everyone to have victory over it. You will want to totally destroy it. I don't know what's all wrong in your life tonight. I don't know how big it is or how small it is. Whatever it is, it's time for you to put your foot down on the devil's neck. Amen. I said it's time for you to put your foot down on the devil's neck. And when you do, something supernatural is going to take place. God himself is going to fight for you. Amen. Joshua told those men in verse 25, "Fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and be of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do for you all your, amen, for all your enemies against whom you fight." After they put their foot on the enemy's necks, Joshua took those kings and killed them, hung them on 5 trees until the evening, so everybody could witness the victory over their enemies. Amen. In other words, Joshua was sending a message to the people of God. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Joshua wasn't only sending a message to the church. He was also sending a message to the enemy. Hey, looky here. Hey, here they are. They're dead now. They have no influence. They have no power. And they have no authority over your life. Why don't somebody put your foot down and send a message to the devil tonight? Why don't you remind you the devil that you're not what you used to be? Why don't you remind the devil by starting out singing, "Look what the Lord has done. Well, look what the Lord has done. Well, he healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me. Just in time, I'm gonna praise his name. Oh, every day is just the same." Come on and praise him. Everybody, let's praise him. Look what the Lord has done. Come on, let's praise him.